Now let's get back to Drex and Heather. I'm Mary Liz Cortese, KGO 810.
Tell them to put on the radio.
Turn on the radio.
Just sit back and enjoy the ride, boys.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
I love this show.
Me too.
Hit it!
It's showtime.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show along with Heather and Mary Liz Cortese and for John Libertini in the KGO newsroom. All righty, Steven.
Google's parent company announced that it has dropped its famous motto, don't be evil. Gone. That is chilling. It's disturbing enough when someone decides publicly that they have to remind themselves not to be evil. But I think it's even more disturbing when they publicly decide they don't need to do that anymore. It's like Moses dropping down to 9 commandments. I'm not saying which one we're dropping. Let's just say that neighbor's wife is looking pretty good to me.
But they have the clown cars. And by the way, Google might be rotting your brain. A third of all adults, we search for answers without trying to remember them. And one-fourth of us, as soon as we look at the answer that we Google, we forget it. And I would say the numbers are probably higher than that. We keep sourcing Google for all the answers to our questions, and then we don't remember them.
Yikes.
And so it's having a profound effect on long-term memory. I don't know. You know, I guess if you're young, if you have kids, it's not going to be a big thing because the chip will be implanted someday. But for us, we're getting screwed over, shortchanged.
Do you even remember the last thing you Googled?
Yes, James Bond. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, I do. We'll get to that coming up because what is his name? Craig? Who am I thinking of? The last Bond guy. Daniel Craig.
Mm.
He doesn't want anything to do with him. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
He's done. He's done with them.
But now that you've said the name.
He will not do another Bond movie. Spectre's about to drop, and he doesn't want to be James Bond anymore. So we'll get to that later.
I'm just hoping I'll have a dream with Daniel Craig in it, wearing those light blue trunks, walking out of the ocean toward me.
Yes, that was good. I think that's how he'll be remembered, unless he has something else is going on with Spectre. Okay, and you mentioned the word dream, which is the perfect introduction. This will be a dreamy segment or two. We have Kelly Sullivan Walden on the phone. Good evening, Kelly. Thank you for joining us.
It's such a pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is wonderful. She's a dream analyst, which I think is fantastic, and she has a brand new book. You'll recognize this. We'll ring your bell. A Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, very so exciting. You have the sixth sense and the gut feeling, and you have the instinct.
I do. Mostly it comes through dreams for me, but yeah, it doesn't stop once I wake up. But usually it's my dreams that are my tarot cards or my thing that I use.
Okay.
But lots of the stories in this book are about people that have either dreams that lead them to somewhere transformational or some kind of premonition.
All right. How would you address the listeners? I mean, can we ask about their dreams, and can you kind of interpret what's going on with them? Because
I have a lot of
questions. Okay.
Yeah.
If you have a reoccurring dream and you're wondering, you know, what the heck's going on?
What does that mean?
Right, what the hell is that? 808-0810 is the number. And we'll get to some of them. I, Heather and I, when we were talking about you coming up on the show, we were talking about the anxiety dream. And yeah. I think, you tell me, is that a common thing that everybody goes to? Because mine's reoccurring. It's the same thing all the time. Is that normal?
Do you want to talk about what it is?
Yeah,
yes.
Tell her the dream.
Yes, mine's very specific. Since, this is my baby being on the radio. Love it. I've done it all my life. I've known that, you know, I'm one of these people who have been blessed with. I knew what my career would be at 13. So forever. And the dream is this, and it's always anxiety based, is the music's running out. The record is ending because I was a disc jockey for years before I did this talk radio. And I can't get back into the control room. There's always something blocking me, you know, and the time is running out. I can't get in. And it's
insane.
And
it's a thing. Like,
yeah.
You should know this if you do a lot of radio interviews. People who work in radio, dead air is just kryptonite or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's common, after I worked in the industry for a few years, I found out that other people had the same dream that Drex just described. So it's like a big thing in our industry.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's a big deal. That theme is common for anybody who's in an industry where they're, and they're passionate. They're doing something that they really invest themselves in. If you were doing something that was just kind of clocking it in and phoning it in, or I'm kind of phoning it in right here because I'm on the phone with you guys, but I'm not phoning it in. But if you were doing something that you didn't care about, you wouldn't have these dreams. So it's common when people are really invested that they'll have anxiety dreams, because in a way, these dreams are helping you to troubleshoot what could go wrong, what might go wrong, so that you're figuring it out. It's like in this parallel experience, you get to work out this, you get to troubleshoot so that those things don't have to happen in real life. So nightmares are actually really good for us, even though they're unpleasant. They help us kind of have this rehearsal for our life so that things can go a lot more smoothly.
Okay, that's a nightmare. People who are having anxiety dreams, you classify that as a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, nightmares can span the gamut from, like, anxiety all the way to full-blown frightmare terror. But it's on the spectrum. Yeah, it's unpleasant. However, those are the more commonly remembered dreams. It tends to be the scary or negative dreams that are more easily remembered because they have that emotional grip on us. And they really, our subconscious mind is so smart because it gets our attention, and then we can prevent those things from happening often if we are lucky enough to remember those dreams. So consider yourself lucky that you do remember them. And then just know that perhaps double check certain things so that those situations don't happen to you when you wake up.
Ugh, okay, because, yeah, it. we never work it out within the dream itself, but you're saying it'll help us work it out in real life.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can. I mean, I tell people that one way, like if you have recurring dreams and it feels like it's not helpful, it's actually working against you, one sneaky shortcut you can do, because most people aren't going to learn how to become lucid dreamers. If you are a lucid dreamer, then you can work it out in your dream. You remember that you're dreaming, and then you kind of turn the tables on the dream because you know that you are like the director of that dream and you can change things. But most people aren't going to do that. So what you can do as a sneaky shortcut is when you wake up from a dream like that, sit on your bed so you're still kind of in your sleep realm, and close your eyes and sort of meditate on that dream and imagine that in a meditative state that's kind of half awake, half sleep, and imagine that you were back in the dream and that you could control how things would go and that you would do things to prevent the unfortunate thing from happening, or even better yet, making sure that things go incredibly well. So if you kind of practice that before you get out of bed, then you'll not only feel great, but you will have completed the dream, because often a nightmare is really just an unfinished dream.
Okay, let's take some calls. 808-0810. Yolanda in San Francisco. You're on the Drex Radio Show with Kelly Walden. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Kelly. Okay. Hi, how you doing? Okay, I keep having dreams in the house that I was raised in. I mean, it's like that I'm living there even as an adult. And even sometimes, like, if I'm visiting, it's in that house.
Oh, I love
that. It's been going on for like 30 years.
Oh. I was just talking about this kind of dream theme just recently. And my sense is that when you live somewhere, when you work somewhere, when you go to school somewhere, when you have an initial imprint of yourself, your self-image, your sense of who you are in life, that imprints you so deeply. Our dreams help us to go back to that place because, in a way, it represents your identity. It houses your sense of self. So if you're going through a change in life, or if you're going through something where you're feeling a little confused or out of sorts, often we'll dream about going back home, back to that familiar place where we really have a sense of nostalgia, a sense of who we are. There's a bunch of different scenarios, but it's often about retrieving aspects of our power, aspects of ourselves.
Thank you very much, Yolanda, and thank you to Kelly Walden. She is our guest, and we are talking about dreams, and we're analyzing that. She has the brand-new book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's about dreams and premonitions. Dreams and premonitions, Chicken Soup for the Soul. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute on KGO 810.
KGO 810 is sending you to the opera. Join KGO 810's Renee Richardson for the San Francisco Opera's presentation of Mozart's The Magic Flute. In a fantastical world of ferocious dragons and enchanted musical instruments, a noble prince sets out to rescue a beautiful princess. Win tickets to The Magic Flute by registering at KGORadio.com or buy them at SFOpera.com. Don't miss Mozart's The Magic Flute from KGO 810. News, talk, and traffic. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Ah, one of my all-time favorite Fleetwood Mac songs. And I'm sure Kelly Sullivan Walden knows it well. Don't you, Kelly?
Or are you sick to death of it?
Does every radio interview you do, probably?
No, I get a lot of Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, but not this one. I love this song.
We'll open up next one with this.
Karen. Mm-hmm. That's our engineer gifted that to you.
Yay, that was awesome.
Okay, so you are a dream analyst. And by the way, how did you know, when did you know in your life that, gee, you know what, not only can I analyze my own dreams, but I can do it for other people?
It's kind of like the fish that has no idea what water is. Paying attention to dreams and analyzing them was something I started doing as a little kid. My younger sister and I used to pay attention to our dreams and talk about them on a daily basis growing up, and it was really just kind of an ordinary thing for me. And then I became a hypnotherapist about 20 years ago, and because as hypnotherapy works on the subconscious mind, my clients would often come in with dreams, and I would offer my perspective that, and it seemed like they liked what I was saying, because a lot of times people will have dreams, kind of like yours, Drex, where it's kind of somewhat uncomfortable, and they'll kind of make up a story about themselves about it, that there's something wrong with me, or, oh my God, something bad's going to happen. And my perspective is that no, your dreams are your ally. They're trying to help you make your life better, become a better version of yourself. And that was kind of, it dawned on me. There was one particular day when this happened, and I went, gosh, someone said, you really ought to write your perspective down. So I started writing, and lo and behold, 8 books later, here I am.
Chicken Soup for the Soul was the latest, Dreams and Premonitions. And our last caller before the break brought up, childhood. And I wanted to ask you, because in times of trauma, and I have had trauma before, and I've recently had brand new trauma, I go back to the childhood. And you tell me if I'm right about this. I go back there because it's a safe place.
I think you're a lucky person then. I think I would like to hope that most people think of their childhood home as a safe place. I think some people don't have that experience, okay, and they go back home for other reasons. But in either case, our primary sense of self was established in our childhood home. And it's kind of like we all need to return to innocence. There's another song for you. We can hear that Eagle song. But returning back to our innocence is really where our power lies. And so many of us adults get so caught up in things, our work, and we just forget that there's something more important. So it is important to go back home, and you can go back home again in your dreams and know that you're recapturing an aspect of your vital self back every time you have one of these dreams.
Okay,
yes, can I have something really quick that's sort of related to that? I've lost some people. When I dream about them as though they're with me today, is that sort of the same thing? I'm just kind of going home and being cuddly?
Yeah, so the dreams take place at home, or just when you reconnect with a person that's no longer here? Or am I combining these dreams?
Yeah, not home so much, but people that I loved very much and grew up with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, no matter who you dream about, ask yourself, what does this person represent to me? Name 3 adjectives that describe that person. And it's often an aspect of yourself that you're needing to reconnect with. Everyone in the dream, according to Carl Jung, the late great father of psychotherapy, he said that everyone and everything in your dream is you. So these people do represent a nostalgic aspect of yourself, but there's probably a specific quality to who they are that is a quality that's important for you, given whatever you're going through in your life.
Awesome. Thank you.
Let's take a call here. 808-0810 to KGO. Michael and Manteca, you have bad dreams.
Yes, I've had a few dreams. Hi, guys. I've had a few dreams, and they've been very sad. And then I wake up and I'm wide awake and I'm walking around and that dream is still floating around and I can't kick it. And I know with anything else, it's just with time, it'll go away. But it still mumbles around in my mind, so to speak. And I've had that like, maybe once a week. And I just sort of stay frustrated and angry. And people, I'll go into a store and get a coffee at 7-Eleven. They say, oh, what's the matter with you? You sleep bad? And I said, I just have this dream. It's just keeping me angry all the time, and I can't kick it. And then maybe 8 hours will go by, and I'll kind of lost it. But is there anything I can do to kick it once I get up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's as you may have heard, what you suppress must express. So anything that you don't want to feel, it's like you're kind of tanking it up. So it's going to keep kind of getting bigger and bigger. The idea is to really look at this dream and see, well, what is this dream pointing towards, and what is it that I don't want to face? I always say that the formula is, it's my fear formula, F-E-A-R. You've got to face
it. Sort of a self-talk.
Face it and replace it. What's that?
Sort of a self-talk with yourself.
Yeah, well, imagine that you could bring in a guide. Yeah, exactly. Some kind of self-work. Imagine that you are bigger than whatever the situation is. And a lot of people, we don't want to feel sad. We want to feel happy all the time. But the truth is,
exactly,
sometimes those deeper feelings are really important given the depth of who you are. And usually I always say at the bottom of every wave, there's a treasure chest. And you don't get to get into that treasure chest unless you're willing to go down that wave, down to the ocean floor of your emotions, and then pull up some wisdom. So I would say it's recurring because there's something that is important and you're kind of scheduled to deal with this. And you can keep running from it as much as you'd like, but we can go deeper together if you'd like to besides being on the radio. I work with people sometimes with the dreams that they have a hard time with. So we can follow up afterwards if you'd like.
What
I was suggesting earlier, where you imagine in a meditative state that you get to finish the dream so that it doesn't end so sad. So you imagine the ending that you would like to put on this. It's actually, it might sound like a very simplistic tool, but they've practiced this and studied it at Harvard and all kinds of sleep clinics where they call it imagery rehearsal therapy, where you imagine your dream and then you put your own ending on it, and then you revel in the feeling of what it's like to actually be heroic or be full of gratitude or whatever it is, however your dream would end if you had directorial input. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And we will talk about how they can get directly in touch with you after we come back from the break here. Chicken Soup for the Soul with Kelly Walden. And it is Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Dreams and Premonitions is the name of the book. And we'll continue our conversation when we come back. I want to ask her about, oh, well, you have naked dreams, I have flying dreams, and then there are the violent dreams, those sort of things, death dreams, I guess it would be described, cheating dreams.
Cheating?
Cheating dreams.
I haven't had one of those. That sounds fun.
Okay, 808-0810 is the number. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Talking about dreams, and of course we're California dreaming. Why not? Yeah. Kelly Sullivan Walden. Kelly Walden is a dream analyst. Her new book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions, is our guest, and we thank her very much for joining us this evening, and we're talking about dream interpretation. And by the way, and you also talk premonitions. So can our dreams be a premonition to what will happen in the future, and how do we know that it is?
Well, we don't. The problem with a premonition is that you don't know it's for sure a premonition until there's proof in the outer world that validates it. But often if you pay attention, you start to notice certain telltale signs. Like often a premonition will be like a voice that you hear in your head. It's not emotional. It's not based on anything that you were thinking about or that would even otherwise occur to you. It just seems to come out of the blue. And it tends to either be a feeling or a very specific thought. So the idea to harness this is to pay attention to the signs and and notice the patterns about when it shows up so that you can start to notice it. So when it does show up, you go, aha, this is one of those. It always comes to me in that little voice, and then you start to know. So if you're new at it, it's a little harder to tell, but everybody has access to this higher wisdom. It's just a matter of how interested in it we are.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have a lot of people waiting. Jeremy in Napa, you're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 with Kelly Walden.
Hi, Drex. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Kelly, my question is, I tend to talk a lot in my sleep. I've had ex-girlfriend on me. You talk a lot in your sleep, and I catch myself. I wake myself up talking in my sleep. What is that all about?
All right, that's a great question. Go ahead. We'll let her address it.
It means that you need to make sure that you have a clean conscience and that you're not keeping any secrets. It's when you talk in your sleep, when you walk in your sleep, we're not supposed to do this. It's considered a mild form of a sleep disorder.
Wow.
So it's not talking in your sleep isn't as dangerous as sleepwalking. However, it's related. It's along the same lines. But I would just say, just kind of tongue in cheek, it also means that you're not the kind of guy that's going to get away with keeping any secrets. You have to kind of live a transparent life. It's not usually very serious, but it would be worth noticing what the clues are if you're talking always about a particular thing, if like finding out what the common clues are in what causes this. Or if you're going through a time in your life where you're particularly stressed, that's usually when these things will happen. So.
And what about medication? Because medication will affect the kind of dreams that I have. And I'm talking about Ambien or something like that. If I have to use it a couple nights a week, you know, it might not have an effect. But sometimes when I haven't taken it for a few weeks, the dreams can be fun and quite lucid.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's induced by the medication. Yeah. Those are the fun sex dreams for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could talk about that too.
Sure.
But yes, anything that you ingest is going to affect your dreams. And so it's in an ideal world, we wouldn't take medication unless we absolutely had to, because of course, if you can't sleep, then you're not going to be able to function. So, but there are so many instances where people who took Ambien, you know, there was one woman that got arrested. She drove her car, hit a tree, hit a truck.
I know, and that seems crazy, but you have to be careful of that. And Lunesta, and there's tons of benzos that people take to calm down, to reduce anxiety. And people, by the way, that affects sleep. And I wonder, for a lot of people, they really do, they find themselves relying on it. How does that affect the dream process?
Well, in an ideal world, it's said among dreaming cultures that we want to live our lives in such a way so as to have wonderful dreams. So we want to get into the habit of doing just, and it's baby steps. You don't want to drop off any medication in a radical way ever at all. And of course, always consult your doctor and all of that. But the idea is to, if you absolutely need it, then accept it and make the best out of it for sure.
Okay.
And there's people that I know that can do that. But in an ideal world, we would balance ourselves. We would get an adequate amount of sleep and exercise, and we would eat in a healthy way. We wouldn't eat 5 hours or at least 4 hours before going to sleep, so that we don't have this heavy stomach that's making our dreams more sluggish or difficult. There's certain things that are very simple behavioral things that we can do during the day that will ultimately affect the way we sleep and the way we dream. So it's really just about taking baby steps, leveling up, as a dear friend of mine would say, toward the healthiest lifestyle you possibly can, so that you can have the best possible dreams. Because when you get into a place where you're having really sweet dreams, then it becomes really fun and great, amazing things can start to show up.
I know.
Everybody can win the lottery at that point.
Right, and I think one of the most frustrating things probably for everybody listening is when you're having a wonderful dream and you just want it to keep going and you have to get up. Or you wake up. Yes.
Somebody pokes you.
But I like to tell people, I like to tell people that when you wake up from an awesome dream, don't get totally frustrated, because you can keep the dream going. In some ways, a dream doesn't end just because you've woken up. In many ways, it's kind of like a parallel plane, and this is more of a mystical perspective on this. This isn't necessarily science, although I know there are some studies that would concur on this. But mostly, I mean, I know people that, for example, had a great flying dream. For example, Shadow Stevens, you probably know him, a great radio personality. He had a great flying dream when I went in and met with him and did a show with him once. And he was so upset about having woken up from that dream. But yet, as he was retelling the dream, you could see him becoming this magical guy right in front of my eyes as he was reliving the dream. And by talking about it and by meditating on it, you can actually grow that dream and make it even bigger and more wonderful than it was in the dream. It takes
I love the flying dream, but what is the flying dream? What does that mean?
Oh, it's wonderful. It tends to represent that you have risen above your challenges, that you are on a higher plane of reality, that you're seeing things from a higher view. It tends to be a reward for a life well lived.
I love that. Well, and you know, and here's the strange thing about me with this flying dream. Sometimes I will be a prop plane, and then the other times, actually, if I put my arms in, I can go supersonic. So I get really frustrated sometimes when I'm just like the kite in the sky and I can't move fast enough. It freaks me out.
When you're like the Macy's parade balloon?
I mean, it's really weird. I mean, you know, picture the old Superman, put your wings in closer and the faster you'll go. So there's some frustration sometimes there with the flying.
These are high class problems, because I think the average person would love to just float like the Macy's parade.
Okay, right. Okay. Let's go to the phone here. We've got people that have been waiting, and we'll go to, well, of course, it's going to be a little strange people. That's what we're all about. Aaron in Walnut Creek, you're on the Drex Radio Show.
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
I'm calling because I have a very recurrent dream that my teeth are either breaking or falling out. And from what I've done online means either I feel like I can't express myself or I'm wanting to get pregnant. And I don't feel like either one of those are true.
What? Okay.
So I dream that my teeth are falling out or they're breaking and falling out. And then I try to like grab them out and then I end up like kind of toothless.
Oh. Okay. So there's a few different perspectives that I have. One, and I actually talked to several dentists about this. That there is a correlation between people who have teeth falling out dreams or teeth crumbling dreams and people who grind their teeth at night. So one perspective is that your teeth grinding, you having this dream is alerting you to the fact that you may be grinding your teeth and it's trying to stop you from doing that. So that could be one thing. And along those lines, you wouldn't be grinding your teeth if there wasn't some form of stress going on in your life, something that you're biting back. Some of the nicest people I know have these dreams, and I think some of them may be passive-aggressive, where they're not necessarily always saying what they mean. Some of them may, but sometimes you're like biting back that thing that you really could have said or should have said or wanted to say, but you didn't quite know how to. On the other side of it, some people believe that it's about financial issues that cause us to really grit our teeth at night and that cause our teeth to fall out in the dream. Kind of goes back to our caveman days, where if we didn't have teeth way back when, we wouldn't survive well. So money tends to be that survival linchpin for most of us. We tend to think of it anyway, as if money tends to trigger these dreams in my experience. So are any of those kind of pointing in the direction?
Okay, well, we've got to take a break because we're getting against the wall here. We'll be right back. We're talking with Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's a dream analyst, and her book is Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions.